about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hello. Shalom. Buongiorno. Howdy. Namaste. Or buenos dias.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Perhaps by and by I may observe that private balls are much pleasanter than public ones. On the contrary, I find that balls are much more enjoyable when they cease to remain private.
Balls, 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 balls.
I know your nuts hurt!
And now...
I think I might be stupid.
Why would you say that about yourself?
I don't understand anything anyone is talking about most of the time.
That has nothing to do with intelligence.
It's like this. There's lots of different kinds of smart, you know, and you just have to discover which smart you are.
See, I don't understand what you just said.
Our feature presentation.
Sounds familiar. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How are they?
Fabulous.
Good deal. How was everybody's weekend?
Fantastic.
It was good.
You?
Oh, it was fine. It was fine. What? Why is everyone laughing?
I bet it was better than that. You just find no way to enjoy things.
That's correct. That's why I was laughing, too.
Yeah.
No, it was fine.
Do you ever say it was great? Does he ever say that?
No.
Not once, right?
No.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should think about that. I did go see Lincoln, though. And, you know, I rarely go to the movies, but I did finally make it to Lincoln. And that
involves the president, so I'm surprised.
That was phenomenal.
I'm surprised it took you this long.
Yeah, that has been tops on my list of the movie I most wanted to see of all those that came out for the award season, and finally made it to the theater, and I just loved it to death.
While you were doing that, I was watching Mama. Very different.
Oh,
yes.
How scary was that?
Very different. Not the same at all.
Was it awesome though?
It's historically accurate.
It is. I didn't know that.
It was really good. I wouldn't say awesome, but it was really good. It was. Yeah. There were parts of it that were very scary, and it's freaky.
Yeah. Hey, there's room for lots of different kinds of great movies. So what did you see, Lisa? It sounded like you saw something.
I finally saw Skyfall.
Oh, wow.
It's like in one theater. That's it. And I got
there. Last theater in America where they're playing it.
Pretty much. Turns out it's good.
Huh. So everyone was happy.
Who knew?
Well, we got a huge program today. Before we get started, I have a great story if you're an ass man. If you're an ass man, this story is for you. Her first name is, it's either Michael or Mikkel. I don't know. It's M-I-K-E-L. How would you pronounce that if it was a woman's name?
Your guess is as good as mine.
All right.
Mikkel.
Mikkel Ruffinelli. She lives in Los Angeles, by the way. She holds the Guinness World Record for the world's largest hips.
World's largest hips? Is that a record you want?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
She says she loves it. She says, some people assume I've had surgery to enhance my body shape, but it's all natural. It's the result of having 4 children and also having large hips that run in the family. Her hips, guys, if you take a tape measure and go around her hips,
mm-hmm. Yes.
8 feet.
What? How's that possible?
Eight feet.
She's enormous.
Is she one of those... That's probably
true. All of her is enormous.
Is she one of those that can't leave the apartment without a crane?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Kevin, because she has to go through doors sideways. She can't close the shower door because her hips get in the way. She claims her hips began expanding after she had her first child back in 1994. Back then, she weighed around 180 pounds. Now she's a comfortable 420.
All right.
I love my shape, and I see no reason to diet because I don't have health problems, which, by the way, that's the cry of all overweight people is, yeah. I know I'm big, but I'm healthy. So
I'm happy this way.
Right. And I'm happy this way, exactly. Yeah. Although if she could snap her fingers and have it all go away, I bet she'd do it. I love Mexican food, English breakfast, and chips. My husband finds my shape sexy. We have an amazing time in bed. There's no position we can't do. He tells me I'm beautiful every day. Men don't fancy skinny girls. They like an hourglass figure, she says.
That is not an hourglass.
No, that's not hourglass. That's a triangle.
Roll me in flour.
That's just a triangle from the head to her hips.
And again, 8 feet around her hips.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Yo, buddy!
made for that.
She would have to get a swimsuit would have to be made specifically. Yeah. Most of her clothes would have to be made. Custom.
She does admit that the hassle of having to buy two seats on a plane and having to drive a truck because she can't fit in a standard car is offset by the extra income she earns modeling for a BBW website.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So apparently there are a lot of people who like her shape, her crazy hips. She hopes to serve as a role model to women who are struggling with poor self-image. I hope I can inspire women to think she's happy with her body, and I can be too.
I would like to suggest that if you weigh 420 pounds, you should not be happy. Neither should anyone else.
And you're not healthy. There's no way you're healthy.
Yeah.
She can't walk around the block.
Yeah. Yeah, 8-foot hips, man. I was surprised to see that was possible.
That does seem bad.
But I'm looking at the pictures right now.
I want to see those pictures.
She, everything else hot?
Wouldn't it be
funny if without her hips she weighed like 120 pounds? And then with the hips there are an extra 300?
Will you embrace my big fat ass?
No. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
When you look at that, do you feel embarrassed?
Potentially.
Yeah, that's always the potential, sure. Internet Roundup today, got a brand new batch for you.
Okay.
Good stuff. Pretty good videos. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl is now set.
Do you happen to notice Sal's predictions from Friday and how they played out on Sunday?
I did not pay attention to that, no.
The most specific predictions in the history of football prognostication, by the way. If you'll recall, he said that the 49ers would win the game, but Atlanta would cover, which happened.
Yeah.
And he said the Ravens would win outright. Got them both.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
He was going against a lot of people out there with different predictions, I'll tell you that. So he just nailed it.
He knows what he's doing.
He does.
Max Greenfield will be on the show today. He's Schmidt on The New Girl.
He's fantastic. So good. Yeah.
We have a brand new Beans Death Corner.
Excellent.
And we have Harvey Levin from TMZ telling us about the celebrities over the weekend. And a little band by the name of Paramore. In the studio with a brand new song called Now. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
We are mostly turning into travel agents on this show. Later on, we're going to do a grand prize drawing, send someone to New York to see the Killers. Mm. Somebody qualified for that over the weekend. Then we're going to do the grand prize drawing for the trip to Paris, France to see Muse. Mm. That's the deal we had for you all last week. And then we start qualifying you for the Black Keys at Lollapalooza in, Brazil.
What?
That's destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. We got all the details at K-Rock.com, and you can qualify for that at 9:10 this morning. So, again, do we have enough listeners that we can just send them out of town all the time?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to beat that all right now. I'm going to beat all that.
All right.
I am sending a pair of listeners to exotic Arcadia, California.
Yeah!
That's right.
Smashed it.
On my dime, you're going to Arcadia. Get your passport, pack your bags. It's Arcadia bound for you, baby.
I don't speak Arcadian. How am I even going to communicate down there?
Well, they have an English to Arcadian dictionary that throw into the package as well. What I'm referring to, of course, is Santa Anita Racetrack in beautiful Arcadia, California. It's just east of Pasadena. This weekend on Saturday, the 26th, it's going to be a big K-Rock event there. It's going to be Stryker will be there. Cat Corbett will be there.
Wow.
Omar, Dave, the King of Mexico, and our very own Lisa May will all be at Santa Anita this Saturday for the K-Rock Infield Concert featuring Shiny Toy Guns.
Oh, they're good.
Yep.
Santa Anita Park. This is for not just a pair of tickets. This is for the VIP package.
What does that get you?
They throw down some newspaper when you're standing on the mud in the infield so you don't get your shoes dirty.
That's it?
Doesn't that say what the VIP package is here, but I bet it's impressive.
Sure.
I bet there's a plastic cup involved and beer.
It's pretty cool.
Anyway, if you'd like to go, then why wouldn't you? I've got one pair of passes right now for the VIP package to hang out with everyone I mentioned at the Shiny Toy Guns concert at Santa Anita Racetrack. By the way, it's also a racetrack. It's not just a place for concerts.
Ah.
They've got the ponies running all day long on Saturday. Gates open at 10 a.m. Do you want to go? Call right now. 1-800-520-1067 for your VIP package. The K-Rock Infield Concert with Shiny Toy Guns.
I see Kevin is still not invited back to Santa Anita.
He is no longer welcome.
Conspicuously absent from that list.
Not since he killed that dude with a beer stein.
Right, right.
First of all, it was a girl.
Oh, okay.
Back
Sorry.
To you.
No, that's better.
That's the first of all? Is there a second of all?
Apparently not.
It is Monday. Oh, excuse me. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Mama, the movie Kevin went to see this weekend.
Yes.
was number one, surprisingly, at the box office. $33 million.
Wow.
Made it number one this weekend. Outperformed even expectations for Mama. Zero Dark Thirty came in at number two with $18.7 million. Then Silver Linings Playbook, an expanded release, did very well for itself with $13 million. Made it number three. Gangster Squad was fourth. A Haunted House was fifth. Then Broken City, Les Mis, Django Unchained, The Hobbit, and The Last Stand, all rounding out top 10 at the box office. Last Stand, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, made $7.2 million in its debut weekend.
Wow. Now, that was a big surprise to me because the reviews have been generally favorable for it, and I thought the commercials were pretty effective. Apparently not. What went wrong, you guys think?
I thought it was the fact that you were worried that Arnold was going to break a hip while he was trying to fight crime. That's what disturbed me about those spots.
But there have been a lot of those kinds of movies lately where the older guys are kind of poking fun at themselves for still doing it at that age. You know, Expendables and others come to mind. Red. I was surprised at how poorly it did.
Hmm. I don't know anybody who was excited to see an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in this day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in older days I would have gone. But
I didn't hear anybody say, oh my gosh, Schwarzenegger's back? Put that at the top of my movie going list. No one seems to care.
I guess not. I mean, look, the proof is in the numbers. You're right. But I mean, no Knoxville fans? I mean, I don't know. I thought I'd do better.
The Knoxville fans were the $7 million.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised it didn't do well. I didn't think anybody was interested. Schwarzenegger has not aged to the tune of someone like Stallone, who still seems to have a fan base that brings people into the theater regardless of what he does. But maybe Schwarzenegger stepped away for too long and people lost interest. Well, the big news over the weekend, of course, by far, was that sweet black car that was up for auction this weekend. The Batmobile!
That's the biggest...
The Batmobile!
That's the biggest story of the weekend?
Yes!
I didn't even hear about it.
Oh, you didn't? Well, maybe you were busy sliding around a field on a garbage can lid, my friend. Because everyone else was talking about it. How can you love it? It's crap. The original TV series Batmobile, of course, on the classic TV show from 1966 and 1968, also used in the Batman movie, was up for auction, sold for the first time this weekend by creator George Barris. That's what really hurts me, is not only did someone buy the car and it wasn't me, but I can't visit it anymore because it used to be right there in my neighborhood. I used to go by a shop, and you could see right there in the window, and I'd wave to it, and I'd press up against it, and I'd lick the window as I looked at it.
And he's held on to it since he created it all those years ago.
He's the only owner the car's ever had until this weekend. Went up for auction at the Barrett Jackson Automobile Auction in Scottsdale, Arizona this week. And since you didn't hear it, Kevin, how much do you guess the Batmobile sold for at auction? The
original Batmobile. Does it run?
One of a kind. Oh, yes, it runs very well. It's still in mint condition. George has kept it up all these years.
I would say $1.5 million.
That would be an excellent guess. If you were brain damaged,
I would say $2.5 million.
I would say $4.6 million.
Wow.
Is what I would say.
My God.
Wow.
That's the guy who bought it right there.
Really?
Yeah. Pug. A guy named Rick Champagne bought it. Kid you not, that's his actual name. And he says he plans on keeping it in his living room.
What? Are you joking?
No, that's where he's going to put it.
In his living room?
In his living room at Stately Champagne Manor. That's where he's going to have the... That's where he's going to have the car. That'd be the best thing ever.
Sit there and watch TV from it.
Hey, could you move the Batmobile? I'm trying to watch the Super Bowl. Yeah. So that broke my heart a little bit. Because my bid of $4.1 million
fell short.
I was so close. He came in. He sniped me at the last second. Took my car away from me.
Would you have driven it to work every day, Ralph?
Are you kidding?
I would never drive that thing.
Oh, I thought you'd drive
polish
it everywhere.
No, I'd put it on the back of a flatbed truck, and then I would get in the car on the flatbed truck, and have the flatbed truck drive me to work every day. That's what I would do.
That'd be attractive.
Not a great look. Paris Hilton is a filthy whore. All right,
moving on.
My next story?
Why now? What's going on?
Well, everyone hates her.
Yeah.
And this week, it's Robert Redford. He is just miserable that she was at the Sundance Film Festival this week. Miserable.
Why?
Because here's the thing. Here's a guy, Robert Redford, who created this film festival for independent filmmakers to have a place to show their films and get some attention. And over the years, it has become sort of a marketplace for Hollywood to come in and buy those films. And now it's gone beyond that, where it's just a place where douchebags go to be seen and get swag from the freebie suites. and get their photo taken. And I think Redford's had an assful, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's just turned into a big hipster party.
Yeah. He said that he was really unhappy that she was there promoting herself this weekend rather than celebrating independent movies at a panel discussion. He said she didn't have anything to do with the films. What movie is she in? She and her hard-partying, swag-grabbing cohorts have made the festival not much fun. There are too many people who come to the festival to leverage their own self-interest, he said this weekend.
I love that so much.
I do, too. I'm glad someone is standing up for what that festival should be. But apparently she was there and just at every party. She was at every suite just filling up her bags with free stuff. Just the ugly American in America. Here's a pretty American. That's Catherine Webb. You remember, does that name ring a bell?
Yes.
Catherine Webb? Former Miss Alabama who made headlines when her boyfriend, A.J. McCarron, won the BCS title game with the Crimson Tide. She is really celebrating her 15 minutes of fame. She is relocating to New York City for her modeling career. Yeah, say goodbye to your girlfriend, A.J. She has also reportedly been offered a gig on Dancing with the Stars. And she will be providing on-air reports during the Super Bowl.
She should give Brent Musburger a huge kiss.
And I was going to thought you were say something else you should give him.
And more rewards.
A trouser kiss. You know what she was doing a few weeks ago? Now that she's got all this career opportunity? What her job was just a few weeks ago in Georgia?
Uh-uh.
She was a trainer at Chick-fil-A. She was training employees at a local Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Now she's going to New York to model and Dancing with the Stars and Super Bowl.
And not because she had talent or anything like that or worked for it.
Nope.
She literally just sat in a seat watching a football game.
She was on television. That's all that matters.
She was a spectator at a sporting event.
They now showed her on camera. That's all the experience she needed to move on to the next level.
Well, she's ready for the Super Bowl, then.
Madness. We live in a world of madness, people.
Can you imagine getting hired at Chick-fil-A and then going in for your training and like half asleep? And Jesus.
Let me show you how we bread the cutlets.
Right.
I'll show you how I bread the cutlets. Once again, I don't know what that
means.
I left my birthdays in the other room, so look it up for yourself, people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Black Keys right there playing on the Grammys in a couple of weeks. And as we mentioned earlier, you can go see them in Brazil at their Lollapalooza. We'll qualify you for that at 9:10 this morning. Get the details at krock.com. You know, we've talked in the past, Kevin, how tough it must be. I don't like the woman, but it must be tough to be Khloe Kardashian and have two gorgeous sisters.
Yeah, it's not good.
And then you're Frankenstein's monster over there. And a lot of people say she doesn't even have the same father. You know, she's not even a full sister to the others. And she just gets picked on all the time because she's just kind of big and goofy and big and fat.
Goofy and fat and big. But and she's also sort of harsh, her personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's got edges.
Yeah. Yes, she does. She does. Well, now she's basically fighting back to the tabloid, saying that she's not going to listen to what anybody says about her weight anymore because there's nothing she can do. She can't please everybody. No matter what weight she's at, somebody's always going to be critical. Even when she loses weight, people still make fun of her. So she just says she's just forgetting about it.
She's
going to do whatever
up.
She wants. Just giving up. So we wanted to find out more about where this is coming from and make sure she's doing okay. So we asked producer Dave, could he line up Khloe for us? And I guess we've got her on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Khloe.
Good morning, man.
Hey, Lamar.
Hey, what's up, man?
It's Kevin and Bean.
It's early, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I apologize. We had set up to talk to your wife. I hate to wake you up, especially on a game day, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Clippers!
Yeah, Clippers are big game with OKC tonight, right?
Lakers, how's my ass taste?
It's a little early for how's my ass taste. You haven't actually won anything yet, Lamar.
I'm sorry, man. You woke me up, man.
Sorry. Well, we're going to let you go back to sleep.
I'll say when I wake up in the morning.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah.
We'll let you go back to sleep. You can just put the wife on the phone, please.
Oh, okay, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Khloe! Ryan and Ellen on the phone for you, man.
Nope. Still Kevin and Bean.
Come on, get it.
Here she comes. Long way to the phone.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen. How are you guys?
It's Kevin and Bean, Khloe. Good morning.
Hi, Frosty. Hi, Frank. hi, Tom Likas. Who's this?
No, still Kevin and Bean. Come on, Khloe. You know, we've talked to you a million times before.
I'm not familiar with your work, but what can I do for you this morning?
I'm reading this article in the Daily Mail, and first of all, I want to source that this is not a misprint. Are you only 28?
That's right.
I'm 28 years young, and I've got my whole life in front of me. X-Factor!
Doesn't Chloe, no offense, doesn't she look like 40, you guys?
Yeah, she does.
You know, she can hear you, right?
I'm right on the phone. Hello?
Oh, sorry. And how's that X-Factor going? Are you going to get fired from that, or are they going to have you back for another season?
No, of course they're going to have me back. I'm the most scintillating host on television.
Is that right?
Mario Lopez and I are quite the dynamic duo.
What did you think about them firing Brit?
Well, I think the show's so wonderful, and Simon is such a genius that whoever they put in there is going to do great, so I'm not really concerned.
What happened?
What's going on?
What's going on,
are
Chloe?
You okay?
Sorry, I just got hungry for a second. Mm.
Are you eating right now on the phone?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm.
What are you having?
Everything. I've got a bowl of pancake batter here.
Right.
I've got some frozen sausages I didn't have time to thaw out.
Uh-huh.
I've got a parfait. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I've got a jar of honey that I'm eating with my hands like poo, like the Pooh Bear. It's a breakfast of champions.
Yeah. We were reading that you're happy with your weight now. You're no longer going to try and lose weight.
I'm happy with myself when I'm a little heavier.
Okay, a little heavier.
If I got a lot heavier, I'd be a lot happier.
That may not work that way, though.
Well, a little heavy makes me a little happy.
Right.
So a lot heavy will make me a lot happy.
Chloe, tell me, expand on this comment you made to the Daily Mail, that once you lost 30 pounds, I guess you had to deal with quick trim pills, you lost 30 pounds a couple of years ago, and even then you felt that people were just criticizing you, still making fun of your weight, and you weren't happy with yourself, so you decided, screw it, I'm just going to eat whatever I want.
Yes, in 2009 I lost 30 pounds thanks to quick trim.
Uh-huh.
And also, because of quick trim, my resting heart rate was 400 beats a minute. It was very exciting.
It sounds like it was, yeah. Like a little hamster in a wheel there.
That does not seem healthy.
So, but did you... But you must have looked better. You must have looked pretty good at 30 pounds.
But even then, people were criticizing me in the tabloids. It's like, oh, look at her. She's lost weight, but she's still ugly. She's the ugly one. She's not as pretty as her sisters.
Well...
So what's the point? I just want to be happy with me because I know I'm dead sexy.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. We're trying to process.
My bar loves me just the way I am.
Uh-huh.
And I love me just the way I am. And
right.
I know that I am beautiful and sexy.
Okay.
And I'm also the funny one. I'm the funny sister.
Are you? I didn't realize that.
Like I told Glamour Magazine in this interview, sometimes I'll go to the craft store and I'll get a foil sticker and I'll put it on my forehead. I'm crazy that way.
You are crazy. That is outrageous.
I'm silly.
You are a party.
I have so much
Chloe.
Personality, don't I?
Well, that's what they say about big girls, is at least they have a good personality.
Don't eat again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta space that out, Chloe. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Oh, girl.
What's that?
Mutton.
Mutton?
Yeah, leg of mutton. It's hard to get mutton these days.
Who eats that now?
Outside the...
Outside
yes.
What?
Yes, Chloe?
You're not at medieval time. Hard to get a leg of mutton.
Got a brand new Death Corner coming up for you in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And at 7 o'clock, the band Paramore stops by, bringing in their brand new song. We'll world premiere it for you. It is called Now. Paramore, after a long, long absence, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's on the way. First, though, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us at the beginning of each week. This week it happens to be a Tuesday. Good morning, Harvey. How was your weekend, sir?
It was really good, guys. How was yours?
Very good.
Good.
Doing fine. I want you to know I laughed out loud in your Rihanna story that you posted this morning about her at the comedy club the other day when you mentioned that she was there to see Dane Cook tell quote unquote jokes. I just love that you put that in quotes.
I knew you would say that.
Yeah, those quotes were perfect. It was very funny. All right. So much great stuff to talk about. We could have you on for an hour. There's so much craziness happening with everything. But let's start with Lindsay Lohan because this is brand new breaking news. What's going on? What's her latest bad decision?
You know, it's so funny. They're all bad decisions.
That's true. How do you rank them?
It really is. They're all bad decisions. So, you know, the woman is like, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt with the IRS alone.
Right.
So what she does is turns down an offer where she could make $550,000 by dancing a little bit on Dancing with the Stars. Because she says she is never going to do a reality show.
Because her life is a reality show?
Well, here's my question. Rank this. Dancing with the Stars, Liz and Dick, The Canyons.
Yeah. Right. Dancing with the Stars is the class of the group right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, no question about
totally.
That. And there are a lot of stars who, not everybody wants to do it, but there are a lot of them who get a second chance by going on that show.
You know what? It doesn't matter. She has to dance a little bit, and she could make $550. Come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, she just doesn't have anyone in her corner. I mean, you wrote last week about how she fired her attorney
fired
that's been
lawyer.
So good to her.
She fired a lawyer who was about to, who was driving. I mean, this is so unbelievable. Driving to the courthouse to get a plea deal offer from the prosecutor, which would keep her out of jail in a situation where the walls have closed in on her.
Right,
and
they, right.
And she fires her on the way.
Right. And that just plays to my point, which is that she has no one helping her. She obviously can't make a good decision to save her life. And she doesn't have anyone in her corner that she will allow to advise her. She needs Britney Spears' dad to take over her life. That's what she needs.
Exactly. Hey, Lisa, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so what about you? 2013 will bring Lindsay happiness and peace or other?
Yeah. I would have to choose other.
Unfortunately, other is the only answer.
She's so headed for jail, right? In one way or another?
I mean, that's what I think. But, you know, she's been, she Indiana Joneses it every time, it seems, but she's always done it with the help of Sean Hawley, and now she doesn't have Sean anymore, so God knows what's going to happen.
That's the lawyer
and
that she fired.
Yeah, screwing with the IRS, too. That's going to be a problem.
I can't imagine that any, I think we talked about this last week, but I can't imagine that any of the lawyer would want to take the spot now that they
see. Oh, no. She found somebody. That's, I think, why she fired Sean. She found a guy in New York. A guy who got suspended from the state bar for 5 years in
all
the
right.
90s. And a guy who the New York Times wrote a story about saying that lawyers in the community called him a, quote, menace to the public.
How did she find the guy?
Leave it to her to find the worst lawyer in the country.
Harvey, you may just have to do it. You can still practice in California, right?
Can I tell you, I would live in a tent before I would do that.
Yeah, that seems like a bad client to have.
Let's move on to somebody who is a new celebrity in the last 2 weeks, but apparently is on the rocket ride to fame.
This Catherine,
you do. And we were talking about it with Ralph a few minutes ago. She doesn't have any discernible talent. She just showed up at a football game and sat in the stands, and now all of a sudden everybody has fallen over themselves to put her on television. What the hell is going on with this Catherine Webb?
It's just the greatest story. I mean, literally just sitting there. And it's like Chauncey Gardner, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, she's a star. So I talked to her last Wednesday or Thursday, because I was trying to get her to come on TMZ Live.
Nice.
And she was very nice, and she said, look, she said, I live in West Hollywood, but I'm going to move back to Alabama because I really believe that AJ and I have a future, and it really means a lot to me, so I'm not going to do any media interviews, and I'm moving back to Alabama. Well, boom!
Now she's moving to New York?
Well, it's moving to New York. We got a picture of her that we put up on the site. She's doing celebrity diving, and she's walking around in this bikini, and you should see it. I mean, this woman is like full bore fame. It is just, it's just a great story.
She does look like she's lapping it up.
Well, you know what? Good for her.
So is it screw the future? This is what I'm doing now? Or?
Well, I think this was so intoxicating to her. And she had met, she was with AJ for like a month or 2 weeks.
Right.
So it's not like this was a long-term relationship. And I think somebody, either in her head or she said, look, if it works with AJ, it works with AJ. Right. But I'm not. And you know what? She wanted this and she got an opportunity. And if she decided to do this and move back to Alabama, she'd be so bitter with him, it would last about a month.
Yeah, no question.
No, you're right. It's amazing. Yeah, definitely TMZ.com for the Catherine Webb bikini photos. That's got to be driving some traffic. All right, real quick in our remaining moments, Harvey, it has become the hottest trend in Hollywood, swatting, and it happened, twice over the weekend, I guess. Tell people about this.
Yesterday it happened to Chris Brown. The police came, although when the police come to Chris Brown's house, sometimes you think, well, maybe it's real.
Yeah.
But somebody called up and said there are two people fighting in there, and there's a guy that walked into the other room with a gun. Well, it was all phony, and he lives in the Hollywood Hills. The LAPD responded, nothing. On Friday, late afternoon, same thing happened to Chris and Bruce Jenner. They got a call saying somebody was in the house with a gun. This is, it's happened to Ashton Kutcher. It's happened to Justin
Tom Bieber. Cruise.
It's happening to Tom Cruise. It's a huge problem in L.A., and they have to respond the way they're responding because, you don't know which ones are phony and which ones are real. And if they make an assumption, this is swatting and it's real, the police are screwed.
Why can't they trace those calls, though? Where are the calls coming from?
Well,
inside the house!
No,
bum,
yeah, really.
Bum, bum!
Well, this is... I mean, there's nothing funny about this, But I will just say that they've caught one person, and he was responsible for the Ashton Kutcher one, I believe the Justin Bieber one, and a couple of others. They found one guy. He will probably not go to jail. You know why?
Why?
No.
He's 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And he thinks he's just playing around and isn't this funny.
He just has become obsessed with hackers. His mom apparently is a nightmare, doesn't take care of the kid. I mean, I feel sorry for this kid, but basically they leave him at home. He doesn't go to school. They just the situation's horrible. But he just got obsessed on his computer with hacking, figured out how to do it, evaded the police for months. And with the police kind of swooped in, and it's like they walk in the room, and it's a 12-year-old kid.
What a shocker. Wow.
Crazy. Crazy. All right. Well, wow. Keep us posted on that, definitely. TMZ.com is where you want to go for all the entertainment stories that are as they are breaking. And, of course, check your local listings for the myriad of television shows. And don't forget to take the TMZ tour. We don't mention, again, often enough how awesome that is. If you're looking for something fun to do. What? You're doing the TMZ tour in New York now?
In May. We're starting it in New York.
Oh.
Unbelievable. You are wow. A miracle, Harvey. Thanks for the time today. We enjoyed it. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
We're always telling you there's lots of great reasons to visit KROQ.com and KevinBean.com. And today, especially, KROQ.com at 3 o'clock is going to be hosting, oh, I don't know, Bad Religion in the Red Bull Sound Space. How about that? They're going to do a live performance. Nicole Alvarez is going to be interviewing them, answering questions about their brand new album, which comes out today, called True North. So if you are a Bad Religion fan, and who is it, you want to go to KROQ.com at 3 o'clock this afternoon to see a live performance online. Pretty cool, right?
Half hour from now, we have Paramore in the studio as well.
That's pretty cool, too.
So much good stuff. All right, Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Now, is it
not
just
animal death? Bean just loves human death.
No, I don't like those stories.
Only human death.
Is it just me, or does everyone think, hey, I could kill my wife and get away with it?
I don't think it's everyone.
No one I know.
Yeah, really? I would say it's just you.
Because I always like to think that I'm smart enough that I could figure out a way to get away with it.
Sure.
But apparently, you know, just from doing Death Corner over the past couple of years, I see it's not as easy as all that. Carl Mugley, 51, lives just south of International Falls, Minnesota. I think he came up with a brilliant way to kill his wife. He and his wife, Kevin, make totem poles for a living.
Wow, that's a gig.
That's their job. Yeah, they Six Flags theme parks and playgrounds. They create and sell totem poles.
Okay,
and he figured out a way to have a totem pole, 700 pounds of a totem pole, fall on his wife and kill her, which seems like a perfectly reasonable explanation. That's certainly the kind of accident that is possible.
Yeah, it's
right?
An accident that could happen.
Police did a little investigation. His story was unsteady as to how it happened, so maybe he should have rehearsed that part. And then, for some reason, they were able to get a hold of his computers and found out that he had been having an affair with a woman in another state where he was writing to her all the time, up to and including the day of his wife's death. And then on the night of her memorial service, he started sending the other woman real estate listings of places they could move in Texas.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He's in a rush.
Doesn't it just seem like, I don't know, if you know the police are going to be looking at you, even if you think you've got a good story, you just tell your girlfriend, hey, I'm going to lay low for a few months until all this is blown over, and then I'll get back in touch with you.
You would think so, yeah.
Why did he have to kill her? Was he afraid she would steal half his totem pole fortune?
That is a good question.
That's an excellent question. They've been married since 1986 and had this business together, and maybe it was just too nasty to try to separate. I don't know what the story was.
Wow, that's weird.
He didn't get away with it. He is in jail and facing murder charges. Here's a story I know you love, Kevin. The Washington woman using her breasts to smother and kill her boyfriend after an altercation at a mobile home. This is a 50-
of course it's a mobile home.
A 51-year-old woman in Everett, Washington, who suffocated her boyfriend to death with her breasts on Saturday, January 12th. According to witnesses, by the way, witnesses saw her throw him down in the mobile park. She's bigger than he is, by the way.
Right.
She's 5'6", 192 pounds. He's 175 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And the last thing the witnesses saw was her throwing him down in the back of their mobile home. She was later found with her chest covering the victim's face and, in fact, smothered him to death. But as we have pointed out in similar stories in the past, not the worst way in the world to go, right?
If you're going to be smothered.
Yeah.
Beats pillow, right?
I mean, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
A man in Detroit was arrested Friday after he allegedly stole his father's body from the cemetery.
What?
You don't see stories like this very often. According to reports, Vincent Bright corpse snapped. Ooh, that's a tough word to say. Corpse snapped his father's body from the cemetery hours before it was to be buried in hopes that it could be resurrected through prayer. He's a super religious guy, by the way. He put the body in the basement freezer and said he was hoping for a miracle. He thought if he prayed hard enough, he could bring his father back. That's just a sad story.
He's going to Frankenweenie his dad.
Maybe so. Maybe that's the plan. Yeah, you definitely don't see that one very often.
No.
Here's something else you don't see very often. This is a story that happened in Florida. 68-year-old James Campbell is in the passenger seat. His girlfriend, Ira Fortner, 68, is driving. They pull up to the gate of James's house. He gets out of the car to go unlock the gate so they can go in. Iris's dog comes running up from the house, jumps into the car to greet her, and accidentally puts the car in gear, rolling over James and killing him.
Oh!
The dog?
But the dog's okay, right?
The dog's fine, and that's why the story's awesome.
Right then.
Death by boxer. Who would have ever thought? You know, the woman is sitting there behind the wheel going, how sweet. Look, here comes my little dog coming to say hi. Oh, wait, don't put it in the drive.
What just happened?
Oh. Next thing you know, he dead. Kevin, this story made me think of you. I have not done zorbing yet. Have you? Is this something that you would do, the zorbing?
I don't know. Explain it to me, and I'll tell you.
Zorbing is that huge inflatable ball that you get in, and then you roll down a mountain.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen those?
I have seen that, yeah.
It's very cool. It's very popular.
It looks awesome.
It started in New Zealand, and now it has spread around the world. And this is the first time I've seen someone get killed. Apparently, this was some sort of – this wasn't the official Zorba people that were doing it. This is some sort of bootleg guy.
You know, they say don't try this at home for a reason.
Yes. Yeah, so this is some sort of a bootleg knockoff Russian company that was making their own giant transparent plastic balls that doesn't have, you know, all the safety measures in and the way to stop them and stuff like that. There's actually a video. This was shot on YouTube. The two men get in, 27 and 33 years old. They get in. They start going down the snowy mountain. They start laughing. The laughter quickly stops, this article says, as the ball veers off the path and heads toward a cliff.
Oh.
Panicked voices can be heard as another attendant fails to be able to stop the globe as it picks up speed and heads over the mountain. One man broke his neck in the fall and died. Death by zorbing, by the way.
Not as good as the boobs.
Not as good as the boobs. What a bizarre death corner this is. You have somebody killed by a totem pole and somebody else zorbing off the side of a mountain. And one more, and this is maybe one of the strangest stories I've ever seen in my life. A man was killed Tuesday afternoon after he fell from a moving subway train onto the tracks.
That seems bad.
How did he fall? He was crouched between the subway cars. Bear in mind, while the train is moving, and he was taking a poop. He was taking a poop and fell off of the moving subway train onto the tracks and was run over.
He really had to go.
Crazy as that.
That guy really had to go.
Quote, this article says, making things somewhat confusing, there was apparently a separate incident at the same subway station just before this fatal accident. According to the NYPD, a bloody man with a broken pelvis and a severe buttocks injury was found on the opposite platform after he mysteriously emerged from the tracks. They don't know how he got there or what happened to him. He was very drunk. Police initially said the two men had been fighting, although it turned out to be false. Instead, it was your standard death by pooping / mysterious drunken injury incident, which is all too common these days. End quote.
What?
These two incidents were completely unrelated. One man is drunk on the railroad tracks with severe butt injuries and
not
a broken
possible.
Pelvis.
Not possible.
The other guy is falling off of a train track while he is pooping and dies. The New York City subways are the craziest places on earth. What's going on, and why is my voice so high? This has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Paramore joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Haley and Jeremy and Taylor are going to be here with their new album coming out in
I love Haley.
April. And they're going to be bringing their new song called Now that we'll be playing for you in just a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Oh, I'm wearing my Paramore fingerless gloves for Hallie. I did notice that you were wearing your fingerless gloves in last episode of Joe Schmo.
Yes.
And it made me think of Dave, the King of Mexico.
It was a bit of an homage to Dave. It's like, what's the douchiest thing I can wear on television?
I said, oh, I know. I'll borrow a page from the Dave King of Mexico playbook, and I'll slap on some fingerless gloves. That'll make me look sufficiently douchey.
Hey, can I plug your show?
Not my fault.
Can I plug your show for a second?
Oh, if you insist, if you must.
I ran into Eric Stone Street.
Oh, Stoney.
At the Kings game on Saturday. And he said, tell Ralph that's the best TV show that's on, and I got the entire cast watching.
He has been very, very kind and very supportive regarding
He loved it.
Yeah, he's a good man that way.
So anyway, I just wanted to give it a mention.
Thank you. Yeah, it's tonight on Spike TV, 10 p.m. If you're a cable watcher on DirecTV, I think your best bet is probably to go to the 7 o'clock airing and catch it then. But if you don't see it then, it's rerun all week long as well. But a brand new episode of Joe Schmo tonight on Spike TV at 10 p.m. And Stone Street has been very supportive and been tweeting a lot about it, and I do appreciate it. As has Josh Molina from West Wing. He's been a big fan of the show. And actress Natalie Morales. And just people have just been really kind.
Too nice.
It's I'm going to go with too show. Nice. I'm not saying because I'm in it, because I have very little to do with the actual funny. There's a lot of funny people on that show. But it's turned out pretty well, so we're pretty proud of it. So check it out if you get a chance. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what you can pick up. True North by Bad Religion, their new CD, is available today. And as Bean mentioned earlier, they'll be playing in our sound space later on today with Nicole. Very cool. Wolf's Law by The Joy Formidable. I'm not familiar with The Joy Formidable's work.
Bean?
Yeah, they're good.
All right.
I knew Bean would know.
Me too.
I have that on my list.
Did you watch that concert for Sandy Relief when it was on television?
I did. Parts of it.
Now you can pick up the CD. 12-12-12 concert is now available on a double CD set with all the artists that performed on that concert. You can check that out. On DVD, End of Watch. Did you catch that with Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña?
No, and I wanted Henry. To.
Great.
Very entertaining cop show. If you're a cop fan, cop movie fan like I am, you will enjoy End of Watch. The Paperboy with Nicole Kidman and Zac Efron, where she pees on him. I'm not kidding
you. That's right.
Go get it. How many times are you going to see that in a movie?
It's quite a
sell. How can you let that pass by?
I don't know. I think I'll be all right.
Oh, I'm so tired of all those movies where Nicole Kidman pees on people. No, you've never said that.
Right. I saw Lincoln this weekend, and in one scene, Lincoln pees on Senator Thaddeus Stevens, and I was shocked that that had not gotten more play.
It's all the rage now in all the feature films.
Had not heard about that.
For a Good Time Call with Ari Grainer. It's about the phone sex. Girls who start the phone sex business.
Right.
A little cameo from my buddy Kevin Smith is also in that film. You can check it out. If you ever want to see Kevin Smith pleasure himself in a car,
nope.
This is the movie for you.
Nope.
I got a lot to offer this week with Nicole Kidman peeing on people and Kevin Smith touching himself. It's magical. It's a magical time in entertainment.
I don't need either of those.
And Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren. What?
Yeah.
This is a thing? This happened and I wasn't told?
I don't know.
Love the Universal Soldier series. All right. Let's talk about the movies over the long Martin Luther King Day weekend at the box office and see who did well for itself. Mama did very well with $33 million. It was number one at the box office over the holiday weekend. Zero Dark Thirty, Silver Linings Playbook, Gangster Squad, and A Haunted House rounding out the top five. Then Broken City, Les Mis, Django Unchained, The Hobbit, and the Arnold Schwarzenegger feature film The Last Stand coming in 10th place with a mere $7.2 million.
Ouch.
Disappointing, to say the least, for the producers.
Rename it The Last Movie.
Oh, no, you did!
Because Arnold might be making more.
Bean was just talking about Lincoln, Steven Spielberg's tour de force, about one of our favorite presidents. Interesting story from the set of that film. Spielberg was able to broker not only freeing the slaves in that film, but also is able to set aside a 30-year feud between two of its stars. Tommy Lee Jones and Sally Field have hated each other for 30 years.
Why? Really?
Yeah.
Because he's grumpy?
Why? Because he's a grumpy old man.
He is, that's
and
true.
And she's our Gidget. Word is the two of them got into it while making a film together back in 1981 called Backroads. They had a bad experience, and they just held that grudge against each other for the past 30 years.
Wow.
Where it is, Spielberg got them together, sat them down, brokered a peace accord, and the two actors literally kissed and made up and forgave each other and bygones and all that good stuff after 30 years of holding on to that grudge.
But Tommy didn't smile.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's not get nuts.
All right.
It's like, all right, I'll kiss you. We should do a phone-in topic on longest grudges. How long have you ever held a grudge against somebody?
Well, you know family members who don't talk
Isn't
for the rest
crazy?
Of their lives when they have a falling out.
It's madness.
It is madness.
But I wonder if... I'd love to talk to people who held it for like 20 years and then reconciled with that person. How stupid they felt for being feeling bad for 20 years after they realized they were angry over someone drinking milk from the bottle instead of pouring it into a glass.
So it would be the dumbest thing and the longest
That's
grudge.
That's it, yeah.
That's the
dumbest
combo.
Grudge you've ever held.
It's a good combo.
It is kind of ridiculous. And more movie news. Good news, boys and girls. You can finally act out all of your Django Unchained fantasies in the privacy of your own home. The Django Unchained action figures are in the news. Word is the Weinstein Company has asked the toy manufacturer to discontinue the Django Unchained dolls.
Why?
Well, they're getting complaints that the action figures are offensive.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe people don't want their kids playing with the slave owner action figure.
Oh, well, I guess I can
or
see
the,
that.
Or the Mandingo fight action figures. I don't know. It's new with Mandingo fight action. I don't think these dolls are going over well. Quentin Tarantino.
I can see that.
Said that the collectible action figures have been released for all of his films, but they're always been meant for people 17 years old and older. It's for a collector's market, not necessarily for kids to play with. However, I can understand the confusion. If you're making an action figure like a G.I. Joe, you could see why kids would get their hands on it. People are starting to complain. Several civil rights groups are saying that the toys trivialize the horrors of slavery.
There are people who are still sensitive about people owning other human beings.
Yeah,
I don't know what's up with that.
Jeez, get over it.
Kind of uptight.
There's only been a couple thousand of these figures produced, and they are pulling the plug. So if you know where there is one, pick it up, because it's guaranteed to become a high-valued, high-priced collectible at some point, since there will be a limited number. You can check that out.
It'll make you a social outcast. But
yeah. You want to play with my slave doll? No, we have to go now, Bill. Thanks so much for having us over. It was a great Super Bowl party. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Linda Blair. How scary was she in The Exorcist?
Very.
Her head all spinning around and spewing green bile and being all devil-possessed. She was even more terrifying in Boogie Town. The disco roller skating movie. Much more terrifying, in my opinion. She is 54 years old today. Actress Diane Lane. Just lovely. Just a lovely, lovely woman. 48 years old. As is Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah.
Of the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff. He is 48 years old. TV chef Guy Fieri is 45. Olivia D'Abo, very lovely and talented actress from The Wonder Years, 44 years old. Willa Ford, we've had her in on this show. Singer, actress, TV personality, she's 32 years old. Actress Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven, 32 years old today. Ray Rice, running back for the Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl.
How about that?
Competing. Ray Rice is 26 years old today. Brother versus brother. It's the Civil War all over again, people.
The head coaches are brothers. Crazy.
How crazy is that? What are the odds that that would actually happen? Madness. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paramore joins us here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Good morning. What's up, you guys?
Not much.
Welcome.
Haley, Jeremy, Taylor, when you guys were walking in, Haley, I think you said, well, now it's real. Now we're back to work. We're at K-Rock. It's official.
Were you spying on me?
I heard you.
Yeah.
You said that in this room.
Oh, yeah. It is real.
Hey, Dave, how about less of that noise?
Dave.
What's he doing? What's going on? Dave's raising the blinds for some reason.
We're on the air, Dave. We're talking to people. It's grown-up time.
Dave, that was awesome. I liked it.
What's happening?
I liked it, Dave.
All right, back to you, Haley. So this means it's real.
It is, yeah. I mean, we keep, you know, we're doing interviews now. We're doing photo shoots. And, I mean, we've been at home in our PJs for 2 years. So it's, has it been 2 years?
Nice to take a shower, right?
Yeah, it is. So this is so fun. I mean, I'm just psyched.
What? Well, yeah, you have to be jazzed about going back to work and this music that you're so excited about and actually getting to play it for people getting to hear it. I mean, that's why you do it, is so that it can connect with your fans.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it about you guys that you can't keep a band together?
Yeah.
Whose fault? If you had to pick one of the three of you, whose fault would that be?
Me.
You?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's too bad.
I ruin everything.
Is that not how you wanted to handle that, Haley?
Oh, jeez. I mean, I thought we held it together all right.
You
I
did.
Mean, for a minute there, it was like, oh, no.
I've read interviews about the doubts that came into, I don't know, maybe we had a good run. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing. I think it's like that no matter what band you're in, and even if it's everything's good all the time, you just, you know, some mornings you wake up and it's not a good day.
Right.
And other days it's the best day ever. I don't know. It was definitely hard at first, but we, you know, had to keep it in our minds and move forward.
And today when you woke up, knowing that you were coming to the Kevin and Bean show,
that was the greatest day.
It's a terrible day.
I was like, oh, my God, birds woke me up.
Okay. Well, you're very smart to not take it for granted because you never know how it's going to run. I mean, you know, some bands, they burn real bright, real fast, and then the other bands stay together for decades and decades. But it does seem like everything I understand is from where you're at right now, today. Everything's like coming up roses. Like, this is a great time to be in Paramore, it seems
like.
Yeah,
it is, yeah. It kind of feels like we just joined this band and we're starting from scratch. It's really nice. I don't think a lot of bands get that chance, that feeling, you know? We've been playing music together for, what, like almost 10 years together, and this feels like day one.
Like you're starting over.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this record because it's coming out on April the 9th. First, let's start with the title. Should we read anything into the fact that it's just called Paramore? Is that a statement or are you guys just super lazy?
Both.
It's both.
Both?
No, it was definitely a statement. I think when we were recording, we all sat down on the couch and we were like, all right, time to talk about record titles, which is always like so stressful. And like before anything hit, it's like, all right, guys, I just have an idea. And it was it being a self-titled record and just making a statement that, you know, a lot of bands do that. They're, you know, maybe their first record.
Yeah.
And so I think for us, it's like, well, we want people to know that we're still Paramore and we actually feel more of Paramore than maybe we've ever been in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely a statement.
You're just not sure what it is.
Yeah. I have no idea.
All right. That's good.
After all the changes in the group and then having so much time between records number 3 and 4, did that change the kinds of songs that you ended up writing for this record?
Yeah. I mean, Taylor might be better to talk about that, where some of that music stemmed from, but I think, like, you know, we did try. There were days that we tried to write your typical Paramore song, and I think some of the songs definitely, you know, just sound like Paramore. It's unmistakably us. But then, you know, I think we really wanted to push ourselves too to just be the band that we knew we could be, and all the things that we wanted to try and experiment with, and, you know, and I don't know. It was really just about being open-minded and trying everyone's ideas and never saying no to anything without trying it
first.
Do
you feel boxed in sometimes by your past, by the fact that you have a sound that people are familiar with and expect?
Not anymore.
Yeah, we did.
You did for a while.
At the beginning.
Yeah, we
definitely tried to, like she said, we tried to write Paramore songs. And we just weren't inspired, you know. And then I think it just dawned on us, like, okay, well, we have 3 records of those songs.
Yeah.
We can always play them live. And
right. Those aren't going away.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we're not going to play energetic music, but I think it was definitely like we need to progress. There needs to be an evolution.
So now it's 17 tracks of dubstep.
All right.
Just
dubstep. Yeah.
Stop it.
If you are just joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the voices of Paramore are what you are hearing. The new record is coming out on April the 9th. We're going to be world premiering a brand new single here in just a few minutes that is called Now. I know we're going to be playing the whole song in a minute, but can I just play a taste of what we're going to be hearing here? Because I think you guys are going to be surprised if you don't know what to expect from Paramore. Check this out.
Balls, 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 balls.
That is me.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely me.
I don't think we're releasing that single.
You guys are going in a different direction.
Yeah, that
sounds
that
really good.
Different.
Really
wow.
Going in
Hope
a different direction.
You guys
direction.
Like it.
It's my favorite subject matter.
Taking over the world.
Tell us about Now and why this is the first single.
Well, that song. Ooh, it
you mean this song?
Balls, balls, balls,
yeah,
balls,
yeah,
balls, balls, balls,
yeah.
Balls,
oh,
balls,
wow.
Balls,
we were
balls,
just
balls,
really
balls,
inspired
balls.
You know, by balls.
It's a really good track.
It's from the top.
The original idea.
Gonna be on
that.
Top. Gonna be on top of the world.
Oh, my God.
No, right, I'm sorry.
Your actual song. Now.
I think it felt so good to write that song. It's just about sort of reaching forward and claiming victory over whatever is to come. You know, you know that something's out there waiting on you and it's really good, and you just claim it. You know, you have to believe it before you see it sometimes, and that's definitely what we did with this album.
And last week you already shot the video for it, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, we shot it with this guy, Daniel Cloud Campos.
Yeah, he was awesome. I hurt my shoulder.
You hurt your shoulder?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I had to tackle someone that was twice my size. Yeah. And I've never tackled anyone in my life. I tried to when I played football, but I missed.
Sure. So you didn't play football long?
No, I was a kicker.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
God, who admits that? How brave are you? Who admits that they're a kicker? Seriously.
You should have kicked him.
Well, that's why I play music, I think.
Just say I played football and let people assume you were the quarterback.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But what's going on in the video? Is it futuristic or sci-fi or what's it like?
It feels like a bit of all of it. It's kind of post-apocalyptic. It's kind of sci-fi. There were times I felt like Lilo from... Lilo?
No.
Lilo?
Lilo.
Sorry, I got my head at Disneyland right now. There were times I felt like Lilo from Fifth Element, and there were times that it was like Resident Evil vibes. I mean, it was really cool. It just very different for us. And
very cool.
Very active.
All right. Well, we can't see the video yet, but we can hear the song that we're talking about. It is called Now, and we are
going to
world premiere it, and we are going to come back and talk more with Paramore, including the kicker, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Come on. Brand new music from Paramore on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
And we are here with the band Paramore in studios on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Again, that is called Now, and the new album is coming out on April the 9th. So besides making the record, you guys have been gone for a long time. How do you spend the time off when you have that much of it?
In my pajamas.
You said that, but do you really?
Yeah.
For a couple of years?
Are you just a homebody? Like you don't leave the house unless you kind of have to?
Yeah, and I have really stylish pajamas too. So it's like if I need to run to Rite Aid, it's cool.
But how are you not 400 pounds?
That's a good question, actually.
If I spent 2 years in my pajamas, I would smoke weed and eat all day long, and I would be fatter than fat.
Oh, geez. I don't know. I really don't know. I like read this report at the doctor that said, you know, if you're not taking like 400 steps a day, then you're living, you know, well, you're not living an active lifestyle. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's cool.
Well, you need a bigger house then.
You do that when you're on tour, but not when you're at home.
No.
Necessarily.
No. There's a song about it on the record.
I heard that you had a fun day that involved shooting a gun.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Jeremy. Why are you doing this?
Tell us about that day off.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to be a hillbilly and go out and shoot some guns sometimes out in the middle of nowhere. It's all target practice.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
Well, not practice. It was just target shooting.
Sure. Was there a story that involved B.O.B. and a gun?
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess we've hung out with him several times, and we always really hit it off, and we talked about hanging out, so he came to my neck of the woods.
Yeah, he did.
And that was probably
and he was
the
armed.
Sum of it. Yeah.
Quite literally the woods.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I took him out to the middle of nowhere and was like, okay, I hope your car is ready to get dirty because we're going to go mudding and all that.
You guys are on Buck Wild. I mean, that's your life, right?
Yeah. You know.
Is everyone still living in Tennessee?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yo. Any plans to move? Any thoughts about that?
I mean, I spend 50% of my time out here anyways. You know, I have a boyfriend here, friends here. My mom's out here sometimes. So, I mean, I really like it, but there's nothing like Nashville. There really isn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And how about you, Taylor? We heard from the others. How about you? What did you do that was fun when you guys weren't working?
Oh, man.
Or do you just sit and play guitar all day?
I don't, but that is kind of, my hobbies are kind of all music, which is really depressing sometimes. I'm like, wow, this is all I do, and I still am not good at it.
Shut up.
All my family lives in Nashville, so I've got a niece and a newborn nephew, so it's kind of like family time and, you know, really sweet stuff.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
At some point, though, there has to be that bug that says, we had a great time on the road, and sure would love to get back out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That has to be hitting you sometimes.
That was hitting us, like, you know, a few weeks into being off. And then it was like, then we got really used to writing, and that was comfortable, and I think all of us are ready to play shows. You know.
And when is that going to happen? What are the plans for touring? April 9th, it comes out, right? The CD comes out.
We're gonna do some shows before then.
In
February we are. Soundwave in Australia.
That's convenient for our listeners. Thank you.
First show in Thailand. Got any listeners in Thailand?
We have a lot in Perfect. Thailand.
Okay, good.
We're huge in Thailand.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Number airplanes. One in Indonesia.
You mentioned 17 songs on the new record.
Yeah.
But I think some of them are kind of bogus because, like, one of them's named Part 2, and that just seems like you're just padding it, really. were there other songs that you kind of left behind that'll end up being on another, like, version of your singles club where you kind of release them sporadically throughout the next couple of years, too?
Yeah, we still have a couple B-sides and a couple songs that we never ended up recording yet because, honestly, we ran out of time. We had so much time, but there were just too many songs to finish recording.
That's a nice problem to have.
That is.
Exactly. We're not that band, so this was a new experience for us. But we're gonna use Taylor's home studio and record a bunch next year and do more singles club-type stuff.
What's different about the way you write songs that you ended up in a completely different place than you usually do?
It was just really liberating. I think the fact that no one was shooting anyone down, it was just like, let's just try everything. We don't know anything. There was this real naive excitement, you know, that we just felt like we were starting over. So why not try everything, you know?
You hear that, Jeremy? No one's shooting anybody. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it sounds like a great time to be in Paramore and a great time ahead for Paramore fans because it sounds like it's all happening. We just heard that brand new song. I'm sure we'll be hearing it a lot on K-Rock. In fact, the next time we see you guys, our listeners will hate you because they will have heard that song so much on K-Rock.
Sorry.
But the album comes out in April and we'll keep our eyes peeled for the tour. And it just sounds so great to have you guys back. We really missed you.
Thank you.
We missed you guys.
Yeah,
you guys
we did. Well. This is awesome. This really does mean that it's real. It feels like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing now.
Well, we're happy that you're doing it.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful to see you again. Haley, Jeremy, Taylor, you can follow them online at paramore.net and on Twitter at Paramore. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for coming by.
Woo!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:42.
That is generally not a good choice, but today we got a lot of good show for you, including Max Greenfield, the actor who plays Schmidt on The New Girl, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, brand new internet roundup, and Andrew Siciliano talks about the teams that are going to the Super Bowl. It's finally that time of year. Hey, our girlfriend Lisa Ling back on the phone. Of course, she is with Our America on the OWN Network with a new episode, season premiere, in fact, of the new season premiering tonight at 10 on OWN. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Sure. Always a pleasure. Congratulations on your boss's big ratings with the Lance Armstrong interview. I thought Oprah did a great job with that.
I thought she did phenomenally well. You know, she brings something so different to the table. What did you think about his level of authenticity?
You know what scared me? They kept flashing back to when he was defending himself, and
it was
saying
the same demeanor, right?
Same demeanor. I mean, it was just as convincing then, and I thought, wow, he was lying then. He could very well be lying now.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was pretty sincere with his answers, particularly the second night when he started talking about his kids.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, his son was defending him, even though, you know, Lance obviously knew that he was lying. I mean, that was a really emotional moment.
Yeah, no matter what you think about what he did, person to person, it was hard to watch somebody go through that kind of pain on TV. I mean, it was squirm-inducing television, wasn't it?
It would have been worse if it was anything other than biking.
You know what? You're so right. It's so funny you say that because, yeah, I mean, he acted hideously, and what he did in the aftermath was really reprehensible. But at the end of the day,
it's bicycling.
Yeah.
It's bicycling. Right.
How excited can I get? They should all be juicing.
Exactly.
I was surprised that Oprah didn't make you put a ball gag in Lance Armstrong's mouth just to get some ratings up on your special on BS. What's the abbreviation you're doing on tonight?
So the show is called Shades of Kink, and it's about the world of BDSM, which means bondage, domination, and sadomasochism. And the reason why this is our first show out of the gate is
because you're experienced with
that. Well, you know, I mean, what can I say?
All first-hand experience. You ask yourself questions.
Exactly. No, with the meteoric success of 50 Shades of Grey, the book that I'm sure you've all read, it kind of propelled us to want to know more about what the real world of BDSM is really like. Because obviously the book is fiction, and I wasn't a huge fan of the books, but it was definitely fascinating, and it's an undeniable sort of subculture in this country and around the world, and the people who are engaged in it, they are people who might live right next door to you, you know, might work in your doctor's office or in the convenience store down the street. I mean, it really is something that is so kind of in the closet because people are so afraid of the stigma. They're afraid
yes.
of losing their jobs. They're afraid of losing their kids in some cases. But fascinating nonetheless.
Absolutely fascinating. Lisa, this is Bean speaking. I'm 100% with you because I watched your special this weekend, and I don't find it the least bit sexy. Nothing sexy about it at all. But why should we care if somebody else chooses to do that and it's consensual? Whatever it is they're doing, no matter how much of a turnoff it is to us, why should we care if that's what people want to do?
I totally agree with you, Bean. And in some ways, it's therapeutic for these people. And sex isn't always involved. I mean, there are high-powered CEOs, for example, who are used to being in total control all the time. People, you know, kneel at their feet, but when secretly they may, you know, get very excited about the idea of being submissive and having, you know, a dominatrix or someone kind of, you know, humiliate them or
hurt them.
Or in some cases hurt them. And again, you know, as you said, it's not something that we may find remotely appealing, but somehow psychologically it does something for people. And what a lot of people don't understand, because it looks really severe sometimes, you know, when you've got a ball gag in your mouth,
yeah.
and whips and chains and the whole thing.
You already lost me a ball gag. I was already out then.
Come on.
You don't have to bring up whips and chains.
And tie it up?
No, but was it difficult to find people to talk to you on camera?
Oh, it was one of the hardest stories in terms of getting people to agree to expose themselves because there's so much at risk. But
right.
what people need to understand about this world is it's totally consensual, and they actually negotiate these things ahead of time. So while it looks severe when someone's getting, like, you know, spanked and whipped and so on, they can at any time say stop or, you know, give a safe word, and the whole thing stops. I think the perception is that it's abusive
right.
because it looks so severe.
And wasn't it so fascinating, at least I found it so, Lisa, when you revealed that some of these people that pay big money, hundreds of dollars an hour sometimes, to be dominated, does not end in sex. That's it. They just get beat up and put their clothes back on and go home.
That was one of the most fascinating things about it, that you always assume that there's sex involved, but there are places, there are dungeons in L.A. where people will pay to be humiliated or tortured or hurt in some way, and sex is not allowed at all on the premises.
That is bogus.
Look, if you want to get tortured, humiliated, and hurt with no sex, just come work at K-Rock. It's so much easier than paying.
I hear you. Let me tell you.
The series is called Our America. It's always fascinating. It's back for a new season tonight at 10 on the OWN channel. Lisa Ling takes a look at BDSM, and you definitely ought to check it out. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks
you
so much for coming on
awesome.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You
bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's
at
an annoying noise, is it?
7:57.
No, that's not annoying.
Last week, we were giving away copies of the latest Muse album and qualifying you to go to see them in Paris, France. Destination number 2 in the K-Rock World Tour 2013. Kevin, who's our winner?
Our winner would be Gary Brown from Hemet. Yay! Gary Brown from Hemet is going to Paris, France.
Gary Baroon.
Gary gets round trip airfare for 2, hotel for 3 nights, and tickets to see Muse in the City of Love, Paris, France. Congratulations. Destination number 3 of the world tour is the Black Keys at Lollapalooza in Brazil. More on that in a minute. First, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Can I just give a quick shout out to my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
Nope.
Playing the Devils later on today. So, of course, my thoughts and prayers are with them as they've lost both of their games leading up to this one. But more importantly, I just want to give a shout-out to my city, because it really just, when it comes to fine food, you're hard-pressed to find a better city than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Just announced today the PYT restaurant there in Philly.
PYT.
Is celebrating the huge success of their bacon taco.
Woo!
The bacon taco.
That's Mugs.
Mugs might move to Philadelphia after I read this story.
He's got to have one right now.
Bacon taco may not be what you believe it to be, which is just a taco that has bacon in it. It is a taco, but instead of the hard shell on the outside, it's been replaced by several slices of bacon, which have been pressed together and then grilled into the shape of a taco shell.
Why not?
And then you fill that up with your ground beef and your cheese and your sour cream and what have you, and it makes a massive taco made out of bacon.
Fantastic.
Jeez. Come on.
Yeah, good boy.
Sounds like the greatest thing ever. The shell is made out of bacon.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Mugs, we're gone. Mugs, come back. Where's that? Gone. I saw him dialing United Airlines on his phone.
If we'd have known that, that's all it took.
we would have known. Open the store sooner.
How much would you weigh, Ralph, if you had never moved out of Philadelphia?
Well, I do know this. Along with the story about this story, also comes the news that Philadelphia has earned the distinction of being the number one sweatpants purchasing city in America. More sweatpants are sold in Philadelphia than any other city. And I say that's because they constantly need the expandable waistline. That's why they wear the sweatpants.
They're all Belichicked.
They are people who like their foods.
Yep.
Philadelphia, period. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it until the day I die. Philadelphia.
That's no way to be.
I've heard that guy say that.
No way to be. Oh, this weekend was very exciting as TV's Batmobile was sold at auction. The final price, the reserve was set at $2.5 million. Would not be sold for anything less than that. That was the bottom amount that the owner, George Barris, was willing to accept for that car.
I'm surprised that, I guess I shouldn't be, but I'm surprised that number sounds way high.
Rocketed past that early on in the auction. It ended up being a battle between two guys for $4.6 million.
Wow.
And here's the thing. They were at a deadlock, and the owner was decided with the flip of a coin between the two final bidders. They both accepted the terms. We accept this. If we flip a coin, that's who gets it. And they said, yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Wow. Yep.
And the guy who won was a guy named Rick Champagne.
Nope.
Rick Champagne.
That is not his name.
He used to do overnights here, didn't he? Rick Champagne owns a company called Champagne Logistics in Arizona there. And he's also a noted car collector. And now
that guy. What would he need him for?
Now he's got my dream car for $4.6 million.
Well, you know where you can get it now, Ralph.
That's right. I'm going to Rick Champagne's house. Although it might be hard to steal because he claims he's going to put it in his living room.
Oh no!
Yeah, that's where he's going to store the car.
What a dork!
How do you steal that when it's in the living room?
And he lives in a trailer.
No, he has quite the mansion.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Yeah.
You have to build
your house around the car.
You would have
point,
to,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
You've sat in the car and had your photo taken in it, right?
Yes. I've seen the number one, as it's called, the original. Yeah,
the number one. Ralph arrived at his wedding in a Batmobile.
It wasn't that one.
No, but it was
a replica of. But
at his wedding.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You met the right woman, man.
If she puts up with
that. She is extraordinarily tolerant. Well, I will give you that. Peter Jackson's film, The Hobbit, was in the top 10 this weekend. It was number 9 in the top 10 over the long holiday weekend. If it continues going on this pace, it will pass the $1 billion mark in box office by March.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
But if it continues at this pace through March, is highly unlikely, isn't it?
Well, we're talking about just North America for this release, but it still...
Oh, I see.
...is playing all over the world and is yet to be released in some countries.
Ah.
So far, The Hobbit has made $921 million.
Wow, that's crazy.
Only $289 million of it here in North America. So it still has a lot of theaters to be played in all around the world, and they're saying by March it will more than likely hit the $1 billion mark. Only 15 films in movie history have ever reached $1 billion.
Wow.
So, pretty strong. Take a look at the rest of the top 10 over the long weekend. Mama was number one with $33 million. Then Zero Dark Thirty with 18.7. Silver Linings Playbook was released into more theaters this weekend. Did good business with $13 million, making it number three. Gangster Squad was fourth. A Haunted House was number five. Broken City, the new Mark Wahlberg film, sixth at the box office. Les Mis, Django Unchained. The Hobbit with $7.7 million. And The Last Stand, the new Schwarzenegger movie, made just $7.2 million. Making it number 10.
So Jessica Chastain in the number one and number two movies.
Yeah, how about that?
That's crazy.
She's doing pretty well for herself. Today's celebrity birthdays. Baltimore Ravens running back, Ravens, Ray Rice is 26 years old today. Willa Ford, the lovely singer-actress, is 32. Olivia Dabo, also very lovely. She is 44 years old. TV chef Guy Fieri is 45. Jazzy Jeff, DJ Jazzy Jeff, you know him. He's buddies with the Fresh Prince. He's 48. Actress Diane Lane is 48. And actress Linda Blair, who scared everyone half to death in The Exorcist, is 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 12 minutes after 8.
Still so many banjos on that song.
There are a lot.
How many times we play, there's never fewer banjos than the last time.
They don't cut down on the banjos. That does not happen.
A lot of great music on K-Rock these days. We premiered brand new Paramore for you last hour with the band in studio. And Bad Religion is coming by K-Rock later on today. You can see them live from the Red Bull Sound Space at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Their new album, True North, is available today. Webcast begins at 3, hosted by Nicole Alvarez. That's at krock.com. Give me some of that New Girl theme, would you?
Who's that girl?
That's some of it. You want to hear the whole thing, or
could I? Do you mind?
Just there you go.
Wow, I can't believe we had time to play the whole thing. One of our favorites, Max Greenfield, back on the phone. He is Schmidt on New Girl with a new episode tonight at 9 on Fox. Hi, Max.
What's up, guys?
Happy New Year. How's it going?
Not too bad. I like that my lead-in was Mumford and Sons.
Yeah.
Makes me feel important.
Exactly. Are you driving and talking to us right now?
Yes, I am. But let me, this is hands-free, you guys.
Of course.
Hands-free. Wow.
Yeah, but we can't quite hear you. Pick it up.
He's doing it legal. Hey, let me ask you about a couple of photos that you've tweeted recently, Max, because I'm always fascinated with a hardworking actor like you who gets in the right place at the right time, finds himself on a smash show, and then your whole life changes overnight. Tell me about this picture of you with Kobe Bryant, and you're dressed up like some sort of an Indian Swami. What's happening there?
So we go to an Indian marriage convention because CeCe is trying to, you know, get an arranged marriage going.
Right.
So I kind of crashed the event, and I'm wearing this Indian garb. And right before I'm supposed to do this giant monologue, Kobe Bryant decides to visit the set.
You didn't know he was on his. You didn't know that was the day, or he was coming then?
No. Apparently, he was just like on the Fox lot, and I guess wanted to see how TV shows were made.
Oh my gosh.
We kind of like heard rumblings that he might be coming, and we were like, it's so cool that Kobe's such a fan of the show. And all of a sudden we felt like we were cool, and then he gets there, and he sits through this whole monologue, and it was unbelievable to have him watch that. But then I get off, and I'm like, hey, man, so it's cool that you're enjoying the show. Oh, man, I never really seen it.
But Kobe is so big a star that it has to be a tremendous distraction, especially on the poor schmuck who has to read, like, 3 pages of dialogue, right?
It was definitely some added pressure to the scene. But I will tell you, it was all worth it when Jake Johnson came in, who plays Nick on the show.
Uh-huh.
And, he comes in with his hoodie and his, like, beat-up jeans, which is his character's wardrobe.
Right.
And he comes in and he tries to be all cool and is like, hey, Kobe, it's good to stay. Hey, man. and it was all cool, and then walks off. And then we come to find out after that he had never seen the show, and then we realize he must have thought Jake was, you know, some union guy or...
Yeah, he'd never seen this.
Like a grip on the show, and he went over to him like, hey, man, it's cool. You know, we're pals, man. It's cool. It's cool. This crazy entertainment industry, right, Kobe?
That sounds like something your character would do on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only it was Jake Johnson.
That's awesome. All right, and the other photo, and I guess you probably have a bunch of stories. This is the voice of Max Greenfield from New Girl tonight at Fox at 9 o'clock. You must have a bunch of stories from the Golden Globes. I saw the picture that you tweeted of you with Mandy Patinkin from Homeland, and I just would have, I might have peed myself if I would have been so excited to meet him. Was that like a thrill for you, I would imagine?
Yeah, it was really cool. He was so nice. I went up to him, and I was like, hey, so I suppose we're nominated in the same category. I don't know how that happened. Let me just say that I'm sorry. And he was so nice about the whole thing. He was like, oh, Max, I love your work on the show. I was like, this is not happening.
This is no.
That is. He was great.
It is weird. I mean, I know we get wrapped up in these characters and they're not their character. You know, the real people are not their characters. I just can't picture Saul from Homeland sitting down and busting a gut to the New Girl. I just can't picture it.
He's the nicest guy. He was so sweet and really nice to me. You know, it's such an odd category at the Golden Globes with supporting actors. It's like you're up against the drama guys and these movie guys. And it was like me, Ed Harris.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mandy Patinkin. And...
you go, how do I even approach a human being like this?
I won't lie. I love your character. I love you. But what are you doing in that category?
I don't know. Believe me, I don't know. I told my mother about it. I was like, Mom, I got nominated for a Golden Globe. She goes, who'd you go up against? I go, Ed Harris and Manny Singh. And she goes, well, it's so nice to be nominated.
Thanks, Mom.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Anything you want to tell us about tonight's new Girl on Fox?
Oh, yeah, it's fun. I shave half my eyebrows off.
You shave your eyebrows
off.
Right.
All right. Fantastic.
Good times.
They never run out of ways to humiliate you, the person, do they?
No, it's never ending. But if you've ever wondered what someone looks like with half an eyebrow on each side, please tune in because it really is a mind-blowing visual experience.
I don't think I've ever wanted that, but now that you say it, I want it.
You're intrigued now, aren't
yes,
you?
Definitely, yes.
All right. Because this is not really a good pitch for the show, but now you're kind of going, I think I might tune in.
How could you not? Tonight at 9 on Fox, New Girl, one of our very favorite, Schmidt, one of our favorite characters, Max Greenfield, one of our favorite actors. Thanks for the time today, man. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Max.
This is going to hurt you, what I'm about to say, Kevin. But Andrew Siciliano getting on a plane heading to New Orleans today.
Oh, that does hurt me.
Super Bowl for the NFL Network. He joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Andrew.
Yeah, actually, guys, I still get another week, so I don't have to go down there until next week.
Next week.
We have our Tuesdays confused.
Okay. All right.
Regardless, I'm excited.
Not the worst place in the world to have a Super Bowl, New Orleans, huh?
You guys have been, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay.
New Orleans is the most beautiful yet filthy town.
It is.
and I mean that in a good way.
It's a beautiful.
Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going.
It's a beautiful old ghetto.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't even go there. I would say the food's amazing. The people are utterly amazing.
Yes,
the
agree.
Music fantastic. When you throw a Super Bowl there, just the massive humanity, it makes it. I mean, you want people watching.
Yeah.
There is no better spot on earth for people watching than the convergence, the confluence, if you will, of the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Hey, think about all the beads you're going to get just for lifting your top, too.
Just for showing your cans, Andrew, huh?
The last time we had a Super Bowl there, it was the Patriots and the Rams post 9/11 in February of 2002, and they had to push it back that year because, obviously, of 9/11, the week we missed in the schedule. And it really did overlap with Mardi Gras.
Oh, man.
Of ridiculousness.
And crazy.
And that was the Patriots' first win. That was when Brady came back and beat Kurt Warner. And what an amazing week. But I'll say this. I was there for 8 nights that year. I was there. I got there the Saturday before the game.
That's too long, isn't it?
No, God. It's Super Bowl morning. I woke up crying. Because I just wanted to go home.
I'm sure. Well, listen, you mentioned Tom Brady. Let's talk about the games that happened this weekend that created the what are they calling it? The Harbowl, right? So it's John Harbaugh with his Ravens and Jim with his 49ers.
The Pro Bowl.
Exactly. What happened? I mean, I know the Patriots have not been closers in recent years. It's been, as we discussed, 7 years since they won a Super Bowl. What Tom Brady, we always accuse him of being like a robot. He really didn't look like he was playing to win on Sunday.
I think he was playing to win. It's just the other team won. And I know that sounds like a bad John Madden impression, but the Ravens are the only team in the AFC that really have zero fear when it comes to the Patriots. And maybe fear is the wrong word because you don't fear any other man, any other team, but the Ravens are the one team that not only knows it can beat the Patriots, it's proven in the past that it has and it will.
Uh-huh. It seemed like the Patriots were barely in that game after the first quarter.
But they led it to half. That's the whole thing. It was a one-point game, but they led it to half. They do not lose halftime leads at home. And when I say they don't do it, I mean it had never happened with Tom Brady at quarterback ever.
Right.
60. Ever. They were 67 ever. And 0 with leading at halftime at Foxborough. Yes. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yes. And they blew it. And they blew it to a team, by the way, that could have, would have, should have beaten them in that same building in the AFC Championship game last year. If Lee Evans catches that ball, if Billy Cundiff makes that kick, they hypothetically beat the Patriots last year, and they go to the Super Bowl and face the Giants. They beat them week 3 this year in the regular season. They went up against the one team that said, not only are we not afraid of you, we know we can and will beat issue. And the dynasty thing for the Patriots, Rob Ninkovich, the Patriots linebacker, said it best. This team is not in any way connected to the three teams or the teams that won three Super Bowls other than Brady and Belichick. Everyone else is new.
Wow. Right. And look, every team, by the time you get to the Super Bowl, you're obviously hot because you've got to win a bunch of games in a row in the playoffs to get there. But it does seem, if there is a team of destiny, it just seems like nothing's going to stand in Baltimore's way. And I don't know whether that's just the magic of the Ray Lewis retirement and the cult of his personality, or like you said, they just don't fear anyone. They go in there expecting to win, but it's hard to imagine they could lose at this point.
I like the Niners. I'm not picking the Niners, but I mean, this team, much like the Ravens last year, they could have, would have, should have beat the Giants. Kyle Williams fumbles a, you know, a couple of muff punt returns, and they were good enough to do it last year. And Colin Kaepernick, guys?
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick, you want to see a star being born before right. your very eyes. This guy is unreal. He runs as no quarterback we have ever seen. I mean, he's not the shifty guy that Michael Vick was when he was 22 years old.
Right.
But he's just the best athlete on the field.
What's the how much prison time did he do to get those tattoos? I haven't heard anyone kind of break down. I mean, they're worse than Kobe's. What's his story on those?
And it's more than that. If you were to see him with his shirt off, I mean, there isn't an inch of space there.
Right, but it looks like it was all done by grade schoolers.
It's terrible.
He was not in Oz, contrary to reports. I'll say this. He's a great story as well. You know, he was given up for adoption. He was an infant in Wisconsin, adopted by the Kaepernick family, who previously unknown. This family in Wisconsin lived there till he was a little kid, moved to the Bay Area, and he was going to be a pitcher. I mean, he played a little bit. He played football in high school, but he was actually recruited as a baseball pitcher. And Nevada gave him a scholarship. Really, it was Nevada and an Ivy League. I can't remember which one. I want to say Dartmouth or Yale that recruited him to play quarterback. And boom, this is where this guy is. And there was an article a couple of weeks ago, USA Today, I want to say. I think it was a column by a guy that basically said a guy with that many tattoos, a quarterback with that many tattoos, isn't built to be a leader.
Why?
It sounds absurd.
Yeah, that sounds ridiculous.
Right. Saying, well, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he's an amazing athlete, and he seems to be an amazing quarterback right now, but really look at this guy. Look at his tats. Is this the guy that you want as the face of your franchise, as the leader of your team?
Why not?
He is, and he has proven that guy. I mean, he's the only guy who said, I don't even remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
But that was it's funny you brought the tattoo thing up, because that was a mini controversy midseason.
That's interesting.
And believe me, no one cares anymore.
Yeah, our only interest is how bad they are. Just not that, yeah, not that, that he has yeah. them, but that they're just really, they're janky.
Exactly. I'm not as impressed with the 49ers as you are, only because I feel like Atlanta lost that game every bit as much as San Francisco won it. I mean, I think the Falcons should have won that game, but it is going to be a great Super Bowl. Maybe we get a chance to talk to you again before you go, Andrew. I hope so. What are you doing on the NFL Network this afternoon at 4?
This afternoon, I got nothing. This afternoon, actually, I have a couple of days off, but I am back on Friday, Total Access Friday, Saturday, post-game show for the Pro Bowl on Sunday. We are live all day Monday with the arrivals as the quarterbacks get off the plane, walk down the stairs, and smile to everybody. And then live from New Orleans, Total Access all week from that point on. And the NFL Network has 140 hours, I believe.
Oh, my God.
From New Orleans.
That, along with you drinking, is going to be quite a week.
Maybe the last time any of us ever see Andrew Siciliano alive.
No joke, some of it from a balcony on Bourbon.
Exactly. Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Tuesday morning on the Kevin Bean Show, time for a brand new internet roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Go to KevinandBean.com on the Kevin and Bean page at K-Rock. It has all of these videos. We have a great batch for you this time, including, I don't know what's happening here, Bean. The guy that's fishing with his arm.
Yeah.
He's standing on a... He's standing on the on a pier, right, and his arm appears to be cut. Is that true?
It looks like he's already bleeding, yet his arm is in the water as if he's trying to attract a fish is the only thing I can think, and boy, does he get one.
Which is what happened when the fish jumps out of the water and bites his arm.
Oh, my God.
And then he pulls it out like they're trying to fish. But at least he doesn't have an annoying girlfriend that's standing by.
Oh, my God! Oh, baby, get out, baby! Go!
making that noise.
I don't know how he didn't kill his girlfriend with that fish. How he didn't swing that fish and hit her in the head just to shut her up. But
that
it's a weird video.
It was
3 feet long.
It seemed like it was 50 pounds almost.
My God.
It was a big fish.
It was crazy.
Big, crazy video. You got to check it out.
Amazing last second shot. Big fat dude, church league, gets the ball with 1 second on the clock and just turns his back to the basket and just chucks it. Swish. Yeah!
You guys missed it. He went like this and it went in from way back.
Jimmy Kimmel had him on the show.
He did it?
Yeah, what did he say?
He asked him if he practiced it. The kid said, no, not once. You know, did you expect to make it? Of course not. Who expects to make a shot like that? It just went right in. It was crazy.
It is the kind of shot that he could stand out there and do 1,000 times in a row and not hit it.
But it happened right at the end of the, I don't know if it was half or the end of the game, but his
team.
That's
so cool.
His team, by the way, Bean went on to lose. So I think it was the end of the half.
Damn it.
Robots playing on instruments, performing a Motorhead song, Ace of Spades.
Oh, this that's got everything.
This is crazy. Both three robots, two of them playing guitar, one of them playing drums, and the drummer is out of control. It's not a great recording. I'll give you that.
But still,
you
know, it's a robot.
We had Paramore in here earlier today. They don't have a drummer right now. Maybe there's their answer. They go out on the road with a robot.
All right. This one is called Hawk Snatches Mouse. This dude takes a mouse who apparently was sort of his pet for a while. It was in his house.
Yeah.
And he kind of got to know it. And then he took it outside and released it out into the woods. And as soon as he did that, a hawk swoops in and picks it up.
Oh, man.
How do you feel, Caleb?
Kind of sad. You know, I got to know him.
Kind of sad. I got to know him. You know. Aww. But he's releasing him because he knows he'll be better free.
No! Are you kidding me? He didn't last 5 minutes. I'm a terrible person.
Aww. It's quite funny. I mean, it really is 20 seconds from the time he releases it to the time the hawk takes it away. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, kevinandbean.com. Here's a bird singing dubstep.
It sure is.
That's happening.
That's what's going on right there.
Hey. It sure is happening. Inglewood police chase, front row seat. I don't know if you saw this yet, but there's a dude, he's watching TV, and there's a car chase on the TV. Then he hears the sirens and turns his video camera out the window, and that car chase goes by his house.
And again, thankfully for the law enforcement helicopters on this.
Holy
police tonight.
So he goes from shooting the television to outside the window to see the cars pass and then back to the TV. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Like, why was he shooting a video of his television?
That makes me, you know, it's hard to tell if anyone's faking anything because so much faking goes on.
Right.
It's hard to believe that that was just a coincidence, but it's worth watching and seeing what you think. This is the NFL, a bad lip reading. I love these videos. These are the guys that put it together. This is their lip reading. And when you hear what I'm about to play, it's impossible to picture football players saying this. But when you watch the video, it looks like this is what the football players are saying.
I wish I had a breeze running down my leg. I'd kill for a cookie. Stingray, a double-sided Scooby snack. Yeah, we pick our hotel. Help me burn that old man.
I can't,
yes, you can. Let's freaking burn that guy. Hit him on the eyeball.
Hit him in the eyeball. It's just, it's the most bizarre thing ever. And there are a couple of very funny Taylor Swift parodies up.
Taylor Swift.
One is Sam Jackson singing Tadoff Switler, you know, or talking it anyway. And Will Ferrell congratulates Funny or Die on its 5 millionth Twitter follower.
Oh, my gosh.
Will Ferrell.
5 million. Wow. How did we get there? Because of quality tweets like these. $1 million idea. Netflix instant. But for sandwiches. Love fades. Pizza is forever. These go out to 5 million people, huh? There are billboards for reruns of Seinfeld. That's weird as f***. If you live in a free world and you're not eating ice cream at least once a week, you're f***ing up. Do we physically mail these out to 5 million people?
Oh, no. We just post them online.
Well, excuse me for not knowing how it works. I'm not on Twitter.
See, because he's congratulating Funny or Die for having 5 million Twitter followers. You can get all of these at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
As you know, we're giving away everything all the time, always here on K-Rock. Right now, it's time to reveal the winner of Who's Going to New York City to See the Killers. They qualified with Killers music over the weekend here on K-Rock. Who's going to New York City, Kevin?
Madison Square Garden. It'll be Christina Aragon.
Yeah!
From Baldwin Park. Christina Aragon from Baldwin Park is going to be going to that show at Madison Square Garden.
Nice.
Congratulations, Christine. Thanks a lot for listening. Ralph is here now on a Tuesday morning. Another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I would like to have a little wager with Bean regarding the Super Bowl. That's all I... All
a wager with Bean?
Yes.
Oh, because he thinks that...
Yes. And they're a team of destiny. There's no way that Baltimore can lose now.
I have been impressed with Baltimore during the postseason than I have with the 49ers. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine. Now... Bring it.
Money where your mouth is, Bean.
I'm not saying I'm going to bet.
Come on. You can't be that opinionated and then not back it up with some amount of money.
Your team of destiny. No, and I can't see anyone beating them now. But it's not worth a dollar.
I can enjoy the game fine without having money on it.
But we can't.
I don't need to bet on everything to make it interesting.
Bet a penny, you cheap bastard.
The wind blowing up your skirt must get so chilly up there in the Pacific Northwest.
It doesn't have anything
that
to do with
one
being
penny.
Cheap. I can afford a dollar. I can afford
bet a dollar.
$3, but I'm not going to bet.
What a tremendous douchebag. You are endlessly disappointing as a human being.
Look, who cares? So you like the 49ers to win, I like the Ravens to win.
Right.
Why can't it just be a conversation? Why does it have to involve a wager?
He was a pussy.
Dean's a pussy. Because it's a fun thing that people do.
Makes it a little bit more interesting.
That's why, Bean.
Something on the line. A little personal stake.
You got bragging rights. You can walk in the day after and go, hey, I was right, Bean. The 49ers won. Won't that be just as satisfying as taking my dollar?
No!
You are endlessly disappointing, to quote the great Ralph Garman.
That's all I have to say. The three ugh kind of day. Let's take a look at the box office. Usually we do this on Mondays, but it has been a four-day Martin Luther King weekend. We'll take a look at who made money and who didn't. In the movie theaters, Mama surprised everyone by coming in number one with $33 million this week. Mama. You saw Mama, Kevin.
I did. Scary.
Mama scary?
I loved it.
Yeah. Those kids, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, right?
The kids from the very beginning.
Yeah,
and they're
like little woodland creatures just gnawing at your bones.
But first, they're super unbelievably cute. That's
right.
How they get you in.
Sure.
And then
next
you see
thing
them.
You know, you go to the shack, and there they are. Eating
crawling
rat,
around
eating
on all
rat
fours.
Heads. Right. I don't need that.
Spoiler alert.
I don't need that.
Not a spoiler. That's the premise of the movie.
That really is, yeah.
Feel free not to push any buttons.
Feel free not to add to the show, Muggs.
Isn't that guy. What do you need him for?
We don't.
Isn't your diet about due to start? Don't you have to go in the other room and start running in place? Get the hell out of my life. He's in there slathering cream cheese on a bagel like, you'll see. I'm going to start later.
Why is he Bean now?
I don't know. Zero Dark 30. Second at the box office. Silver Linings Playbook was third. Gangster Squad and A Haunted House rounding out the top five. People, stop going to that Haunted House movie. What's wrong with you? Broken City was six. Les Mis, Django Unchained, The Hobbit, and The Last Stand rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sad news for those of us who came of age in the 80s. Another relic from that great time that has gone by bites the dust. Video game giant Atari has filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, no kidding.
Who'd have thought Atari would ever go out of business? With that Pong, that widely popular Pong they've got going there?
That was the last good video game.
I loved Pong. Yeah, it's all over. But it doesn't necessarily mean the end.
Never really kept up with the times, if that's what you're saying.
Atari will be seeking buyers for its logo and its games catalog, which has over 200 classic video games. But they certainly are looking for someone to bail them out financially. So if you got some money, you might want to buy yourself Atari. Play that Duck Hunt game all day long.
That was crappy.
That was a crappy game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Speaking of people who have money, congratulations to Rick Champagne. That guy just sounds rich, doesn't he?
He does.
His name is Rick Champagne.
Yeah.
His name is probably Richard. He could call himself Rich Champagne if he wanted to.
He could.
And be sound like the most successful man in the world. I'm Rich Champagne. He is the proud owner of the perhaps the most famous TV or movie car in the world.
Kit?
Not Kit, no. The TV Batmobile. Went up for auction this weekend in Scottsdale, Arizona with the Barrett Jackson Auction Company. The reserve bid, the least you could win the Batmobile for at auction, was $2.5 million. It quickly went past that, all the way up to $4.6 million.
That's crazy.
That's crazy money. I don't know how much money this has, but even he has to feel $4.6 million on a car, right?
I don't know. Maybe he sees it as an investment. He thinks he'll get it back.
He's got a logistics company, and I'm so out of his league, I don't even know what a logistics company is. I have no idea what they do. Get a whole company that does something that I have no idea
what it
is. They
do logistics.
Only rich people understand what logistics are. I am too poor to know what his job even is. But he's now the happy owner of the classic Batmobile.
You got to be friends with this guy, Ralph.
I must admit, I am a bit envious. Even more so because my bid of $4.1 million was just short of the mark.
That's got to hurt. Close.
I really thought I had a shot, but what do I know? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ray Rice from the Baltimore Ravens. There's no way they can lose. They're a team of destiny.
I won't bet on it, though.
I can't see them losing to anyone. God could come down and strike them in the heads and they'd still win. But it's not worth a dollar.
Look, any team can lose. I'm just saying I've been very impressed with Baltimore in the postseason. That's all I'm saying.
We're saying act like a human being and make a wager.
Step up. Put your name on it. As our friend Jay Moores would say via Herm Edwards. Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing.
No sound at all from that end.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Just that heavy breathing and tapping of the keyboard, but no words coming.
My specialty.
Olivia Dabo is Diablo? Olivia the Devil. Olivia Dabo is 44 years old today. She played the hot sister on Wonder Years for many seasons, also on Law & Order and Criminal Intent. She played an evil genius on that show. Guy Fieri is 45 years old. DJ Jazzy Jeff celebrates his 48th birthday, as does Diane Lane and Linda Blair from The Exorcist. Talk about creepy kids in horror movies. She was the original. 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, let's revisit for a second what we were talking to Andrew Siciliano about the Patriots and how they've just been falling apart in the postseason recently.
Right.
Bill Belichick is the least happy human in the world.
When they're winning, he's not happy.
Yes, when they're winning. Did you see that he even refused to do the post-game interview on Sunday?
I thought you had to by NFL rules.
He did the press conference in the back. He refused to do the on-the-field post-game interview. Just walked away from it.
What a baby.
So he is a sore loser at best, but we wanted to find out how he's doing. You'll notice that we gave him a couple of days to kind of recover and get his bearings and put it in perspective. It's just a game, but we wanted to check in with Mr. Belichick and see how he's feeling today. So we've got him on the phone with us here on K-Rock right now. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Hey.
How are you?
Not great.
Thanks a lot for joining us. As Kevin mentioned, you don't show a lot of emotion when your team wins. With a tough loss like that on Sunday, I'm sure you're not feeling very good. But you're going to be okay, right? You'll be back. You'll have another season to worry about.
Sure.
What, did you really skip your on-field interview after the game? Yeah.
Yeah.
How come? I mean, that just seems almost like poor sportsmanship.
Not much to say.
Right.
Well,
that's always a problem, but they just wanted to know what you were feeling and thinking at the time, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some analysis on what went wrong, maybe if you had a few words for the camera about why you lost.
Uh-huh.
Bill?
We didn't play as well as they did.
Right. But what Bean's saying is maybe you could go into some detail.
Yeah.
How did they do well?
They scored more points than we did.
Right. We know that. That's evident. But
Okay. What about Terrell Suggs from the Ravens, who said that the Patriots from Belichick on down are arrogant pricks? What about that came out in the press yesterday?
True.
Entitled to his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're an arrogant prick, Coach?
No.
Based on
everything.
Yeah. Based on your snappy wit, sense of humor.
You should think of going into stand-up.
What? I don't know what you guys expect from me.
Well, we were just, you know, hoping.
We lost the game. It was
right.
A big game. And I don't feel so good about it.
Right.
Well, of course, I understand. Of course, it's disappointing anytime you get bumped from the playoffs. But again, keep it in perspective. It's not the whole world, Coach. You can still have some respect for the other team. You can still give them some credit. You could, you know, what about the speech where you say we'll come back, we'll work hard over the off season and come back better next year? There's how about some of that?
Well, I do have a short statement I'd like to make.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay. Come on. What? Come on.
I feel better now.
Okay. Ralph Garvin is here. Tuesday morning on the show. Time for another look at the show. Biz Beat, what's going on?
Really quick, just added another Hollywood Babylon show this week. And we were supposed to be in Canada this weekend
right.
to do Babylon and a couple other shows. That show got canceled in Canada.
Because you hate Canada.
We love Canada.
Oh.
But Mr. Smith had some problems with his scheduling.
Yeah.
So we had to postpone the show in Nova Scotia. Anybody need airline tickets to Nova Scotia, by
you
the
know,
way?
You
can probably get you a pretty good deal.
No.
This is not going to surprise you guys that Nova Scotia is number one on my list of vacation destinations this year that I want to go to.
Well,
number
maybe. One. Maybe the ticket can be transferable. We can work something out.
When are you leaving? When's the ticket for?
I was supposed to leave Friday.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
But since we're not going, we decided, hey, let's do Hollywood Babylon here locally. So we are doing a special night, special time. Hollywood Babylon just added Friday night at 10 p.m., a late night show on Friday night. For you people who still miss when we were doing our late night version of the show, come on out to the John Lovitz Comedy Club at City Walk up at Universal, 10 p.m. Friday night. You can see me and Kevin do our Hollywood Babylon show. You can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com, and that's where you can pick up your tickets.
Sunday!
Saturday at 10,
to,
as
hate
usual.
I have to correct you, but it is Friday night at 10. Usually it's Saturday at 8, but now it's Friday at 10 because it's a special
Saturday,
night.
Saturday!
Once again, just a quick correction, Friday night at 10 p.m. That would be
got it.
I want to give you something for being so nice.
Thank you, Ralph.
Not you.
Oh.
The people listening. This is the second week in a row I've had tickets to a red carpet world premiere of a movie. It's very exciting. It is the red carpet premiere of Warm Bodies, which looks
Yay!
Hilarious. This is the zombie movie about the zombie who falls in love with an alive girl.
Right.
And the sheer power of his love, he starts to get better. He starts to de-zombify because he's in love with this girl. Looks very funny. It stars Nicholas Hoult, Teresa Palmer, and the great John Malkovich also in this film,
fantastic.
By the way. Looks terrific from what I've seen of it. If you want to check out the red carpet world premiere of Warm Bodies, it's January the 29th at the Cinerama Dome. Another great place to see a red carpet premiere.
Yep.
Warm Bodies is in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 1st. So you can check that out if you don't win the tickets. But if you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers will get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Warm Bodies. I'm bringing back the R in February, by the way.
Are you?
Yes. I'm going to make that a personal mission of
That's
mine.
That's very awkward to say it that
it's
way.
It's been ignored for far too long. I feel bad for that little R stuck in the middle of February. Everybody says, oh, it's February. No, February. That's what I'm going to call it. February. That's what I'm going to call it when I'm ordering my sandwich down there at Subway.
Silent R.
Yeah. Silent R. There's no such thing as the silent R.
There is in February.
No, sir. Bean, what's your stand on this? You must have an opinion because this is really just the top of the list of minutiae, so I'm figuring you must have a take.
Bean must feel very strongly.
It doesn't matter whether I have an opinion. There's a right way to say February and there's a wrong way to say February. It's a silent R. It's without the R.
Well, how do you know that's the right way?
Well, I mean, that's my understanding of what's correct. Am I wrong? Are you saying the R should be pronounced? Are you saying that we've all been saying it incorrectly?
I am an
years?
Agnostic on this situation. I am not sure which is the correct way. But, well, but I'll do some research and I'll find out. And I'm saying, why the hell is there an R in there if you're not supposed to say it?
It's very possible I've been saying it wrong my whole life, but I always thought it was a silent R, too.
I'll bet you a dollar.
I'm going with
Dean. I can't bet.
I'm going with Dean on this one.
While we're talking about movies, let's see how much money the movies made over the long Martin Luther King holiday weekend. Mama was number one at the box office, made $33 million. Zero Dark Thirty, $18.7 million at number two. And as we pointed out earlier, Jessica Chastain starring in the top two movies in the
both.
Top 10. She is a bona fide movie star.
She's hot as
she
well.
She is very attractive and super, super talented. Great actress.
Yes.
Can currently be seen on Broadway right now in The Heiress.
No kidding.
Yeah. My best friend out there is in that show with her on Broadway, and she's apparently terrific. Silver Linings Playbook is third. Gangster Squad and A Haunted House rounded out the top five at the box office. Broken City was sixth. Les Mis was seventh. Django Unchained, The Hobbit, and The Last Stand, the new Schwarzenegger film, making just $7.2 million, rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available. True North by Bad Religion. Their brand new CD drops today. And speaking of Bad Religion, you can hear them right here on K-Rock and see them on K-Rock.com. They're going to be in the sound space this week.
That's right.
This afternoon with Nicole Alvarez. Wolf's Law by The Joy Formidable. And the 12-12-12 concert is finally releasing their soundtrack. The various artists who performed at that concert for Sandy Relief. That's available today on a two-CD set. DVDs available today. End of Watch, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña. Great film. The Paperboy with Nicole Kidman and Matthew McConaughey and Zac Efron. For a Good Time, Call, starring Ari Grainer. And Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning. The Return of the Franchise with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren. Oh, that's a lot of man right there in that movie. That movie's chock full of man.
That is meat heavy.
That is manly, mannish. Mano, man. There's a lot of man in that.
Was that movie in the theaters, or is this a straight-to-DVD release?
I believe this went straight to phone. The only place you could watch it was on your phone, which is it's an odd way to release a film. But look, we're trying to find new delivery systems for our entertainment. Daniel Radcliffe causing quite a stir, shocking fans with his new film, Kill Your Darlings. He, of course, became a household name as Harry Potter, but he's not
that guy. What would he need him for?
What do you got to come at Daniel like that for? He wants everyone to know he's not a kid anymore. In his new film, Kill Your Darlings, he gets freaky with another man on camera. He's the man-on-man sex in this new film.
And before that, he was doing Equus on
I know,
Broadway.
Being all naked on Broadway. Yeah. He is desperate to show you his penis.
He really is.
He's really got a fetish about it. He's got some sort of hang-up. He needs you to see his unit. So do Daniel a favor and go see his new film. And then tweet him and say how much you enjoyed his package. I think he's desperately trying to show that he is not a child star anymore.
Sure.
He's
trying
to prove that he's an adult actor. And so he's stepping outside the envelope, if you will.
Quite a ways.
How about a little less from him, a little more from Hermione on this topic, by the way?
Yeah, where's her nudity? Where's that all about? Since we were talking about attractive women, AJ McCarron's girlfriend, you remember her? Remember how Brent Musburger was quite taken with her?
Uncle Creepy?
Looks like
Oh, look at her. Yeah, look at her. Yeah.
Most of America is also enamored of Catherine Webb, former Miss Alabama. Who has decided to take advantage of her 15 minutes of fame. She is going to be, she's been offered at least a gig on Dancing with the Stars. No word whether she'll take it or not. She should, though.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And bring Lindsay with her.
Yeah.
She'll also be providing on-air reports during the Super Bowl. I have no idea if she has any qualifications for that kind of work or what she'll be talking about during the Super Bowl. Maybe she'll be pointing out other hot chicks in the stands. Yes, I'm really hot, but look at this girl. She's hot, too. Brent? Two of them could team up and do the hot girl report during the Super Bowl. She's a lovely lady. She's lovely.
By the way, I think she's doing it for Inside Edition, so that's probably exactly what they're going to have her do.
Fashion at the Super Bowl. This is quite a career change for this young lady. Until a few weeks ago, she was working as a trainer at a Georgia Chick-fil-A. She would train the employees at the Chick-fil-A there in Georgia.
That's what the Chick-fil-A trainers look like in Georgia.
I'm going to go eat a lot of chicken in Georgia. The hot Chick-fil-A, they should call that store. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino's in a bit of trouble. He, for every one of his films, releases collectible action figures based on the characters of his films. He's done it for all of his films. Well, people are taking offense to the Django Unchained line of action figures. They think the collectible dolls are inappropriate.
Yeah.
A lot of civil rights groups say the action figures demean and trivialize the horrors of slavery and that dark part of our nation's history. And they are asking them to discontinue them. And the Weinstein Company apparently is taking their complaints to heart
and they have asked the toy maker to discontinue the line of Django Unchained.
I can see the movie happens 2 years before slaves are set free, but
yes.
Apart from the movie, it does seem like maybe the context is lost.
Yeah, if you just have the slave owner doll and
right.
you're just playing with that with your kids on the floor there around the Christmas tree, yeah. I think I might take a weird thing. So they are discontinuing. There's only a couple thousand of these made, so if you know where to get your hands on some, you might want to. They will become rare collectibles. Mm-hmm. So no more dolls being made. However, the Action Whip playset apparently is still available if you want to get that for the kids. The Mandingo Fight playset is still available.
I don't think so.
Ralph, the listeners have sent quite a bit of information on the February mystery.
Oh, good.
Dictionary.com may be where we want to go. They say many people try to pronounce February with the R, but mm-hmm. the common pronunciation is with the first R replaced by the Y sound.
Mm.
Like in January, for instance. The result of dissimilation, the tendency of like sounds to become unlike when they follow each other closely, is what Dictionary.com says. Here's how they...
hey, wake up over
what?
There.
Huh? Here's their pronunciation. I'm actually going to hit the button and we'll see how Dictionary.com pronounces it and see if your campaign to bring back the silent R is going to be effective or not.
What?
What?
That's the... Oh, that's the R.
That's just the R sound.
All right, here's the February.
February.
Ooh, they
said February.
Oh, it's dealer's choice.
Dealer's
choice. Who could have guessed?
February. That's not that hard. February.
Let's hear that again.
February or February.
So it looks like
dealer's choice.
Either way on that.
Wow.
I'm going to stick with February as I can't say that most times.
I'm going with February.
February does make everyone sound like
common.
Tom Brokaw.
I don't want to be common. I saw that new movie.
Not having a good day. No.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice is 26 years old today. By the way, for those who weren't listening earlier, Beanbacks are guaranteeing a Baltimore Ravens victory, saying, go to Vegas and bet the house.
That's true.
They can't lose, he said.
Didn't put it in those terms. I just said they've been impressive in the postseason. That's all.
Actor Gabriel Macht from Suits. You watching that Suits over there on USA
Network? I
never
watched that. I don't know.
I like
really,
Suits.
Really
time
good
for
show.
That one. Yeah.
He's 41 years old. Olivia Dabo. From The Wonder Years and Law & Order Criminal Intent, 44 years old. Guy Fieri, TV chef, is 45. He's the one with the spiky bleached hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
right.
Guy? Yeah. He's on the show with Omar's favorite.
Rachel Ray.
Rachel and Guy.
That's not a good show.
That's a great show.
Nope.
Jazzy Jeff from DJ Jazzy Jeff and The Fresh Prince is 48 years old today. I believe Jazzy Jeff still works with Will a lot. I think
does he?
He works with his production company and does music with him. Diane Lane is 48 years old. She's very attractive and very talented. And Linda Blair, most famous probably for her role as Reagan in The Exorcist. She was a little girl possessed by the devil in that film. She's probably known for that. Or Airport 1975. I can't really remember which one she's known more for. But she's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have actor, writer, director, friend of the show, Kevin Smith, in the studio.
What? Him again?
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
And... and they're coming to Staples Center tomorrow night. We have Muse tomorrow morning.
Ooh.
Wow.
On an all-new Kevin and Bean.